Hello, hello everyone, and welcome back to the Beautiful Legacy Podcast. I am your host, Abigail Gagnon, and as you saw from the title, and if you are coming to this episode from part one, you know this is part two of an episode, and I won't take up too much of your time because I want to let you get back into the conversation. But yeah, I just wanted to make sure I put that little intro on there since, you know, cutting the episode in half, that was no longer there. But anyways, I hope that you enjoyed this conversation and that you enjoyed part one if you haven't listened to it yet. It was such a fun time having Chelsea on the podcast with me, and maybe I'll have her again on the podcast at some point. But anyways, let's get into the episode. And with like your podcast, I know you're not doing a lot with it right now, but for people that are wanting to start one, I know we kind of just, you know, said just start it, but what are some other advice for people that may be listening that want to start a podcast?
Your advice to me has been my favorite, is that it's your podcast and you make your rules. Because everyone and their dog is going to tell you how to do it. I mean, mm-hmm. The first things first, you look up how to make a podcast, they're going to tell you, like, you have to niche down, you have to think of your specific audience. Like, I paid for a huge course and did all this work and began to lose the joy in it, honestly, because I was trying, my goal went from, you know, to sharing these stories to how to make money, how to market correctly, how to whatever. So like, there's all those resources out there, but don't lose yourself in those resources. Like, stay true to your story and your idea is probably my advice. But I'm not like super successful, so maybe don't listen to my advice.
No, I think like you, I don't know how many episodes you have out, but I feel like you have done enough that I feel like your advice is valid. But yeah, I completely agree. I think that sometimes, like, there's so many podcasts out there now, and you could say there's so many lifestyle podcasts out there. There's so many, you know, whatever out there. But I think that no matter how many similar-ish podcasts are out there, you're still going to be able to bring your own unique take to the table. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure I've said this on the podcast before. I know I've said this to other people before, but like, no matter how many people I have on here that are talking about maybe even the exact same topic, the episode is going to be different each time because I'm going to be doing it later on and maybe have different perspectives of different things than I did the last time I talked about it. Or, you know, the guest is going to have a whole other perspective and life story and background to bring to the table. And I think sometimes it is so easy to just think that, like you said, you want to do all the right things and market it and, you know, have it be all polished. But I think that what it boils down to is everyone is unique. Everyone has their own story. And so to make sure that you're staying true to yourself, and if you want to have it be super edited and polished and all of that, and that's what, you know, fuels your joy and fire, then do that. Mm-hmm. But if that is not the type of person that you are, and you just want to be a little bit more raw and like one cut kind of thing, then do that. And don't feel so pressured to like put out an episode every single week just because some podcasts do that. Like, there are plenty of podcasts out there that put out a podcast episode every other week or a couple at the beginning of the month. And there's some podcasts too that have like an episode out a week, but they only do that during the summer, or they only do that during the fall and winter. And in the spring and summer, they come out with nothing.
Yeah.
So I think that it's all unique to you. And as long as it's something that you are pouring your heart and soul into and giving your best, I think you can't really go wrong, even if you don't have that many listeners.
Yeah. And there's a lot of like business podcasts that will tell you exactly like, cause I wanted, when I first started with my little coaching program, it was like, I was like, I think I can handle one, like two a month. And then they were like, well, if you don't do one every week, you're not going to make it. And I'm like, oh, Well, look at them. They're right. I'm like not actively podcasting right this second. However, I feel like the one way to be sure that you make it is to just not stop and don't quit. Like, if you, I think it depends. Do people, what's their reason for podcasting? I mean, obviously this world is money driven. We all need money to take care. Like, money is a tool. And if you're passionate and you tell, like you, I think you're very consistent. You're very passionate. I think you know, do this for long enough. And I think the things that will pay will find you.
Mm-hmm.
So just don't quit.
Exactly. You're not stuck unless you stop.
Right.
That's what my pastor has said recently in sermons. And has, actually he has it in his book too. But I think that also with that, like your consistency and your whatever can change. Like if I started to get sicker, or I ended up, you know, being okay enough to work part-time, or I got pregnant and, you know, I'm taking care of a child now. You're, as long as you're upfront with your audience, like if you have a podcast and you realize like, hey, I can no longer put out an episode every week, do what works for you and just communicate with your audience. And if they are true listeners and followers and like really enjoy your podcast, like they will still stay around even mm-hmm. if you aren't as consistent.
Yeah.
And your consistency looks different for everybody. Like right? You could work out three times a week and that could be your consistent. It doesn't have to be every single day for 2 hours.
And especially with my podcast, I'm so much like preaching. So I do voiceover. So I do an interview and then I pretty heavily edit out stuff and do voiceovers with my little thoughts that come in my mind. Cause sometimes when it's recording like this, I trip over my words and I'm like, so I cut that out, which I could totally leave it. But I find when I go back and re-listen, I think of these really beautiful things to say. And so I do a lot of editing. And where was I going with this?
About, I don't know, consistency. Everyone's podcast is unique.
And I do a lot of editing. Wow. See, this is why I do voiceovers. I have no idea where I was going with that. I was going to say is my podcast. I was all about preaching. Take care of your needs. Be kind to yourself. Love others. Be vulnerable. And so I felt like I can't just get on and do this because I'm supposed to and come out with this episode. Like if I'm telling people to be loving and take care of themselves, if my needs right now are to focus on my family and to get my mental health in order, then I want to practice what I preach and I want to love myself where I'm at and take breaks, which maybe not be the recipe for a successful podcaster, but maybe I'm not a successful podcaster. Maybe I'm just a girl or a woman who deeply cares about my fellow humans and finds creative ways to connect and serve people around me, you know?
Absolutely. And I think too, it comes off more genuine when you're not just trying to push out content to push out content. Because I think that like solo episodes for me, I don't come out with solo episodes on a regular basis because I have other topics that I know that I'm going to be talking about. And I'm having a special guest to come alongside me and chat with me about it. But I feel like if I felt the pressure to be putting out a solo episode every single Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, then I feel like those episodes, while they may have some, you know, nuggets of value in them, I feel like it just wouldn't be the same as if when I have something that I feel genuinely passionate about talking about, mm-hmm. then recording a podcast solo episode. And I think it's more genuine if you're not so concerned about making sure that you put out an episode every week or an episode out twice a week. And you do it when you feel led and passionate about what you're going to be talking about.
Yeah, I think that's true too.
And for kind of tying everything in together, for people that are listening that are struggling with being vulnerable and finding joy in their life, what would you say your advice for people would be?
That's a really good question. The joy, my brain goes to the joy first. I think slowing down and stopping, and like now I look for joy everywhere. Like when I'm laying in bed Sunday mornings and my kids are giggling together, that brings me joy. When I'm cooking dinner I don't cook. My husband cooks. When my husband's cooking dinner and I just look over and recognize that he's doing that, and I'm like, oh, I'm so lucky that he cooks me dinner. Or like I said, walking to school, smelling the flowers. Just slow down and look for the little things around you. Like right now I'm looking at my cat who's sitting in the window in the sun, her eyes are closed and she's just like shaking her tail. Like that brings me joy. So, and then vulnerability, I don't know how to help people be vulnerable who aren't vulnerable, because it's one of my superpowers, I think. I used to think it was a weakness, and I would pray that it would go away and people, you know, make fun of me that I'm an oversharer. But I think it's the superpower that God gave me to connect with his other children. So I guess people really get afraid of getting hurt by others, which is why you don't want to be vulnerable and you don't want to tell everyone everything. And I'm like the opposite. I'm learning how to not tell everyone every little tiny thing. So maybe just start with someone that's safe to you,
mm-hmm.
and just tell them how you're feeling. I don't know. Read Brené Brown. That's my advice.
No, I think that's good advice. And two, like, even if you are struggling with being vulnerable and you don't feel like you have a safe person, and say you don't want to like start a podcast or whatever, maybe journal or yes. do an audio journal and speak out loud the things that you feel like you can't say to other people, but that are true to who you are. Because I think the more that we work that muscle of sharing, I think the easier it becomes. And I am like you, Chelsea, where I tend to, I don't want to say overshare, because I feel like I don't overshare, but I tend to share a lot with people. And, but there are certain pieces of myself that I don't share with everybody. Like, there are certain people that don't know a lot about my childhood or don't know about different experiences that I had with exes. And while I may touch on them like kind of broadly on this podcast, I still haven't gone deep into that kind of stuff yet. Mm-hmm. And maybe I will eventually, but I think that being vulnerable doesn't mean that you have to share every single little deep thought or every single bad or good thing that's happened to you, but it's about sharing different pieces of you that are deeper than just, this is what I do for work. Mm-hmm. This is my favorite color and my favorite food. Because I think sometimes we put too much pressure on ourselves. Like, oh, well, what if I, you know, don't share enough? And what is being vulnerable? And I think sharing something that's true to who you are, that's beyond surface level, it doesn't have to be like your deepest, darkest secret to be vulnerable.
Yeah. I like that. I love your take on that, because I think you definitely do have a little more of, you know, keeping some things in out of protecting others. And that's one thing I forget is like, I forget that when I'm sharing stuff, it's not just about me. My husband's attached to me now, you know, so some stuff is his stuff to share, not my stuff to share. And so I am definitely learning that. I'd say just being brave enough to open up about what you want to open up about, even if it's going to hurt you, I guess. Because I think that's why you feel vulnerable, right? Because you're in danger.
Mm-hmm.
So I just forget that I'm in danger. So I share way too much.
And I think that the thing is too, like, even if you're not vulnerable with people, there are going to be people that are going to want to take what you've said, even if it's not that vulnerable, and twist it and potentially hurt you.
Yeah.
No matter what, like, those kind of people you're going to run into, whether you're vulnerable, and yes, it's going to, I feel like, hurt a little bit more if you opened up to them more,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, it's going to hurt no matter what. And so I think sometimes it's like, well, yes, could that happen? But what beautiful thing that could happen with sharing? And I think on the flip side, kind of not wanting to share certain things because other people are attached to it, I think that, well, yes, maybe, you know, changing that person's name if you were to talk about it on a more public platform like a podcast, or not sharing exact specifics. But I think at the same time, you have to realize that it's also your story. Mm-hmm. And to a degree, certain people that hurt you, like, you can't just protect their peace when they took yours to start with.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes it's not healthy to just hold things inside, because you're like, oh, well, I don't want to ruin their reputation. And I'm not saying go around like and say like this person, their first and last name, and they did this horrible thing to me. But I think it's also more detrimental if you just hold it inside, because you don't want to ruin someone's reputation if they deeply hurt you at the same time.
Yeah. And you know what just came to my mind while you were talking? it's a lot easier to be vulnerable if you love yourself and you have your own back, because you know, whatever way anyone spins anything you say, you know you. You love mm-hmm. you and you have your back. So no one can hurt you if you love yourself. It'll be sad. It'll be disappointing, but it won't cut deep because you know you.
Absolutely. And I think even if it does hurt deep to start with, it will be a lot easier to overcome that more quickly when you trust that you know who you are and that the people that are meant to be in your life know who you are. And that if you're a Christian, God knows who you are. And it doesn't matter what that person says, because yeah,
you could be, you know, people who have been to like in concentration camps or in jail or whatever, like people can steal your freedom, but they can't steal who you are in your brain, in your heart, in your mind. Like they can't take you away unless they kill you, but then you get to be with God. So lucky you.
There we go.
And that's a little bit of depression for you.
No, that is very true. It made me think of the fact that I don't know if you listened to Mandisa or if you heard that she passed away today, yesterday, but it went public today. And it's very sad, obviously. And I ended up crying when I found out about it, because like her music has impacted me a lot over the years and been the soundtrack to my tears more times than I can count.
Hmm.
But at the same time, knowing that she believed in Jesus and I believe in Jesus, it's like, well, even though I'm never going to be able to see her in concert on earth again, and I'm not going to be able to ever meet her on earth or hear new music from her on this earth, like when I get to heaven, I get to like sing with her in person again and get to actually like hug her and meet her. And that's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. I actually don't know her. I'm going to have to look her up. I just Googled it. I'm going to have to listen to her music.
Oh, she has such a powerful voice. She was on American Idol season 5. I can't remember.
Dang,
what
that's
place
forever ago. How do I not? I'm like living in a bubble.
Yeah, she was on season 5. And I can't remember what place she got. I know that she was at least in the top 10 or top 13. She's only 47. She got what?
I said she's only 47. Yeah, she was only 47.
I know. I really hope that it wasn't suicide, because I know that she dealt with a lot of depression and thoughts like that. But yeah, she got into at least whatever the top made it so that she was on tour.
Whatever. Yeah, top 10.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I got to see her on tour there. And then I got to see her a couple times at this music festival that I would go to in the summertime. And she has such an incredible voice and such an incredible story. But anyways, moving on from that, what in your life would you say is currently going on that is making it either difficult or easy to be vulnerable and find joy?
I'm sad that I keep saying as my first thought.
That's my, okay. I do the same thing.
To think. I, like I said, I'm in a really good spot. I have a good therapist and finally got on good medicine. I've been on for about a month and a week now. And it's really made all the difference. It's made all the difference because I'm seeing the light side of things and I'm processing emotion. Like, it's okay to be sad. It's okay. You know, when things are sad, it's okay to be sad about it. My son's getting heart surgery. That's sad. And that's okay. I don't have to spiral into my crazy thoughts of, oh, I'm the worst mom, or how do I tell him, or what if he dies, blah, blah, blah. It's just my son's having heart surgery, and that is sad. And so I feel a lot more balanced and able to process emotions and let them be instead of judging them. And I don't know. We're gearing up for summer. I'm really excited to have my kids back for the summer and get to play with them all summer. I'm actively pursuing a career as a flight attendant, which was my dream before I got married. And I had an interview this morning and I got an email back from the airline I really want to work with that I'm moving on to the next step. So I'm excited about the future. And I think if you don't like your life, then change it. Like, it's your one life. So make some changes if you're not liking something. So I felt like for a long time, it felt like I was just chasing after like happiness or perfection. And my therapist was like, there's not a pill that's going to save your life or change your life. And I'm like, yeah, but there's, I shouldn't be wanting to not exist like 3 out of the 4 weeks in a month. That doesn't seem healthy. And so mm-hmm. I just trusted myself and I kept moving forward, trying to find a solution, trying different supplements, different like self-care tactics. And then finally following my intuition and telling my therapist I wanted to try this certain medicine, and it works. So I feel like you have to just keep trying.
Well, congratulations on the next step for the job. That's so awesome.
Oh, I'm so excited. I don't know. I'm still a little nervous of how it's all going to play out, you know, because how do you be a mom and a flight attendant? I don't know. But until the door closes, I'm going to keep going for it.
I love that for you. And I think that with the finding different things that work, I think sometimes we often put so much pressure on like something to just fix us instantly. And I think that, you know, it's like, oh, well, journaling helps me sometimes. And then you journal and then you don't instantly feel better. You're like, oh, well, all hope is lost. That yeah. didn't work for me. And I think that while, yes, those things, they build on each other. And well, you know, maybe if it's a medication that you need to be on, it will help sooner rather than later. But I think when it comes to like different self-care stuff, I think sometimes we often will be like, oh, well, it didn't work this one time, so it's never gonna work. Yeah. And I think that you just have to keep pushing and keep doing it, because consistency when it comes to those type of things is so important, because it's not going to work like instantly most of the time anyway. Because I know a lot of people that I know that will tell me like, oh, I'm really struggling and I journaled and I went for a run and I don't feel better. It's like, you know, obviously I'm sorry that you don't feel better, but you can't expect it. You know, you've been in a rut, you haven't been doing any of these self-care things, and then you do them one day and instantly your depression and anxiety is just gonna go away.
Yeah. And I think we do forget, like when my therapist was like, you know, you're not going to be happy all the time. You're not. And I'm like, yeah, I know that, but I know myself. And I was like, this is not like me to be this sad and wanting, like laying in bed and wanting to not exist and feeling guilty after I walk away from someone, like I'm a horrible person. Like that wasn't my norm. Do I want to get completely rid of my emotions? No, absolutely not. You need all of those different things. But now in my like more balanced brain, I'm feeling like, okay, especially if you're a woman, there's a cycle. There's times mm-hmm. when you should sit and do nothing and let your house be a mess because you need to rest and recover. There's times like as humans, we want to be happy and to enjoy every moment of our lives, but that's just not the fact of this life. Like there's going to be down times, and to just sit in them and feel them, you can move through them instead of, you know, spiraling. When I would spiral, I would get sucked down and down and down and down. mm-hmm. But now with this balance of like, I'm having it like yesterday, after that field trip with my class, I had been around, you know, special needs kids that needed a lot of help all day. And I came home and I was like, I'm really overstimulated. I went and put like soundproof headphones on and laid in my dark closet for 10 minutes and just breathed. And my thoughts kept coming up in my brain like, oh, you should work on this, you should work on that. And I just kept saying, nope, I'm just going to listen to my breath and just bring it down. And then dinner was ready. I came out and ate dinner and then played with my family the rest of the night. Like, you don't have to beat yourself up for your emotions. And that's what I did a lot at the start with everything with Jaxton, because I was so used my whole life. I was so positive and like perky and fun. And then after Jaxton, I just wasn't like that anymore. And I don't even want to say like Jaxton. I'm trying not to make it like Jaxton ruined me or Jaxton did this. It's not Jaxton. Jaxton is himself. He's not his diagnosis. So it's the circumstance of experiencing a child with a heart defect is what has changed me. It's not Jaxton's fault. It's not, his, you know, he didn't mm-hmm. choose this. I had a good thought and then it went away.
I feel like that happens to me so often.
I don't know where I was going with that. Just nope, it's not back. Next question.
Well, yes, I agree with what you were saying. And I think that, you know, especially those of us that believe in God, I think sometimes we can put so much pressure, and the church often puts so much pressure on, like, oh, well, you have the joy of the Lord and you have God with you all the time. And it's like, Jesus cried. Jesus had anxiety when he was going to the cross and wanted it to be taken away from him. Like, if Jesus as God and fully human at the same time could have all of these emotions and go through this stuff and feel pain, like, why do we think that us, just because we have Christ with us, we're still human? So, like, we're not God. So, of course, we're going to feel those things. And, like, the Bible even talks about, like, there's a time for mourning and dancing. And, you know, there's going to be different emotions that you're going to deal with. We're human, and that's okay. And even if you're not a Christian, like, regardless, like, we're human. You're going to have emotions. You're going to have ups and downs. And sometimes those ups and downs are going to, you know, be as quickly changing, you know, as a New England spring day, because, you know, we had like a huge snowstorm, and then the next thing you know, it's sunny and like 70 degrees outside. Like, it doesn't make any sense. But it's sometimes going to be like that, and other times it's going to be a bunch of days in a row where you have all this joy and happiness. But don't feel like because you have one bad day or one bad moment that means you're then going to spiral, because that's going to probably ensure that you're going to spiral, because you're spiraling before you even get there. And I think sometimes it's so easy to, like, oh, you know, my son needs surgery or I need surgery, and think about all the bad things that can happen. But if those bad things don't happen, you're essentially just putting yourself through it for no reason, when you could just try to, and I know it's easier said than done, but try and focus on, just like you said, just the fact my son needs surgery. That's hard. That's sad. But if it becomes hard and sad later because of other circumstances, then I will feel those things and deal with those things when they happen, versus putting yourself through them either once unnecessarily or putting yourself through it twice if it does actually happen.
Yeah, that's an amazing, that was a really profound thought. I love that. And I often would punish myself. So Jackson had to have surgery, so I'm sad. Well, I shouldn't be sad because I should be a faithful Christian. So then I'm guilty that I'm feeling sad. And then it's like all this extra stuff that is so unnecessary. Like, just let yourself be sad, or just let yourself have a day of recovery, or let yourself be angry for a little bit. Don't let it change how you react to the world or respond to the world, but just let it be and process it. That's one of the biggest things I had to learn with everything with Jackson, was that negative emotions are natural and actually they're okay.
Exactly. Just like with physical pain, like, we're meant to feel those things. Like, they're indicators that something is off. Whether or not sometimes it's the chemical imbalance and you need to be on meds, or sometimes it's like either a premonition or whatever, a sign that's going to come, or whatever it may be, like, it's a sign, and you should listen to those, but not be like so focused on it that you lose sight of all the other signs and good things that are going on around you.
And I've been studying yoga a lot lately, and it's all about connecting wholeheartedly with your divine. And the closer you get to your divine, which you and I believe is God, the easier, like, the less roller coastery it is. It's not, the highs aren't super high and the lows aren't super low. You learn to just be content with the experience and to be able to just feel the experience. So I love that about yoga, and that's like a way, you know, to find joy, or to, because you can find joy in the sad things. Like, if I'm at the hospital, we guess what color the elevator floor is going to be because there's different colors in each elevator. So, like, the great stuff doesn't have to be so high and the low stuff doesn't have to be so low. If you can connect to your inner spirit, your inner tuition, your inner voice, the Holy Spirit, God, whatever the divinity is to you, the closer you get to that, the less hard this life is, I think.
Yes. And with the punishing yourself, I can totally relate. Like when I feel bad physically and I can't do things, I end up stressing myself out so much that then it just makes it worse, because not only then am I emotionally like off, but I'm also making my if I have like a migraine or whatever, I'm making that worse because I'm stressed and anxious. And I think that we don't need to punish ourselves for being human.
Yep. At the same time, pay attention to things. Like you have to have a lot of self-discipline and be like, okay, like the other day I was doing homework with my son and I was texting my friend and my husband's like, you've been texting the whole time. He's been saying your name, asking for help. And instead of being like, oh, I'm the worst person ever, the next time I just put my phone away and focused. Like you got to be able to self-correct too without totally being like, I'm the worst mom ever because I was on my phone, la, 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 la. Like, you know, we all are human, which means we all make mistakes, which means we all have ways to improve. So it's this weird balance of being kind to yourself, but also not letting yourself get away with crap.
Yes, exactly. Like be honest with yourself. And, you know, if like, for instance, say someone said something off the wall and that wasn't nice about you, you know, yes, maybe take a beat and be like, hey, am I actually coming across that way because I don't want to be? But don't let it become like consume you to the point where then, like you said, like you beat yourself up. Or if you burn dinner, be like, oh my gosh, I'm the worst wife ever because I burnt dinner once. Like that, it doesn't, those little things don't define you.
Right. I love that.
And with kind of wrapping things up for people that are listening that, you know, don't have a podcast or struggle putting themselves out there, what would be your advice for some small ways that people can start putting themselves out there?
What do you mean? Like ways to tell their story or ways to like connect deeper with people? What do you mean?
Kind of, I guess, both.
Well, if you want to tell your story, reach out to Abigail or I, and we would love to. I feel like your podcast and my podcast is a really safe space because we are automatically assuming the best intention, right? Mm-hmm. So if you want to tell your story, like I've even had people on my story, on my podcast, I have a lady who actually had an affair and left her husband. Like she's the bad guy in the story, but it's still her story. And when you understand and hear her side of the things, it doesn't make what she did right, but it makes you understand what she did, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so I always lead with the assumption that people have well intent. Maybe they just communicate it really poorly, but everyone has well intent. Even the person that's cutting you off on the freeway, they probably aren't meaning to. They're probably doing, like, I don't know. Everyone has well intent. That is my motto in life. As far as connecting, I it's hard because that just comes so naturally to me.
Same here.
I just talk to people. Like everyone's a human. Just talk to people. If you think of something, like if you're on Facebook and you think of a comment, but you're like, eh, it doesn't matter. Maybe just actually type out the comment if it's kind. maybe go to a movie by yourself or go shopping. Like next time you're shopping, look at the cashier in their eyes and ask how they are. Or like, how long have you been here today? Or I don't know, just do something that makes you uncomfortable. If you want to, you also don't have to.
Yeah, I'm the same way. It was interesting with this round of like community groups for the ambassador program. There was one girl and she was like, this is so weird to me. I've never met anybody online before. And so like meeting people in the community groups is so like new to me. And it just blows my mind that there are people out there that have never like done that. It's like, don't want to say half my friends, because it's definitely not half, but quite a bit of my friends are people that I've met through my online community with my church, through the ministry that I run, now the Marco Polo Ambassador Program and the podcast. Like there are so many ways that I've met people through online that it just is very interesting to me when people like have never put themselves out there that way. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, you know, we're all different. And like some people don't want to do that, but it's just, it's hard for me to be able to give advice like that, like you said,
because
it just comes so naturally to me to do that. Or if I see somebody make a post and they're struggling, like to reach out to them and message them and be like, I'm here if you want to talk about it, or something like that. Because I don't know, I just feel like it's that's so natural. My first gut reaction. So it's interesting to me that that's not the case for some people.
And that's the beauty, because they have their own talents for different things, right? So
absolutely.
I went to like a bunko group night the other night, and there's this girl who's like really calm, collected, stands very erect, and is very quiet. And I could tell immediately that my energy was offending her energy. And so, because when I get in a group, I'm pretty loud and crazy and excited. And I had just drinking Dr. Pepper, and I never drink soda or caffeine. So I was like, you know, pretty out there. And so I just like called it out. Like, I was like, hey, I want you to know that I can tell. I said, what personality type are you? And she just laughed and she was like, OCD. And I was like, oh, I just want you to know that I can tell that my energy is a lot for you. But if you give me a chance, you might come to find that we could get along. But if not, it's totally fine. It's totally okay. You don't have to like me. So the end of the night, so she texted me the next day and was like, it's crazy how you just called that out. And she was like, you're not. Oh, and in the moment, she was like, well, you're not wrong. And I was like, I know, because I'm an empath and I could feel you immediately want to run away from me. And anyway, we're like going to get together on Saturday and do nails, because she was like, just the fact of you acknowledging that you were too much for me somehow made you not too much for me. And I was like, it's just because I held space for you and I wasn't offended that, yeah, I was a lot. I was loud and obnoxious, and that's not for everyone. And now we're going to like hang out. So really, you just, I don't know. Who knows if that really loud, annoying person is someone that you could really connect with if you could just look past their personality traits and recognize that they have good intentions.
I love that. That's hilarious. Yeah, it's interesting, because not to say that Brian, I feel like he has a good judge of character and whatever, but there are moments where I'll be able to pick up on certain energies, and then like we'll get in the car and or whatever after something, and I'll be like, oh, this person like seemed really off tonight or whatever. And he'll be like, I don't know what you're talking about. But to me, it's like, that was so obvious. How did you not pick up on the, like, it was just subtle.
What's your husband's personality type? Not, I know that there's like specific things, but like my husband and I are super opposite. He would never tell anyone anything. He's doesn't like to bother people. Super. He's like so opposite. It's crazy.
I would say that he's kind of similar to that in some ways, but at the same time, I don't know how much of this was before we met, but I know that he has talked about to me that he was very introverted before and like didn't like to put himself out there. But like now I feel like he's more the type of person that like he'll just talk to anybody almost. And I don't know how much of it is I've rubbed off on him and how much is just he's gotten older since we met. But he definitely is introverted in the way like he processes things, which sometimes can be very frustrating for me, because I'm the type, as you know, to need to talk it out and ramble. And sometimes, especially if we have disagreements, he's the type that will be like, I need to sit here and process it. And I'm just like, but it sounds like it feels to me like you don't want to talk and you're ignoring me and yeah. You're mad at me, even though that's not the case. He's just processing. And so sometimes that can be very... very difficult.
I always think of it like another analogy for you. Apparently, I don't know, we're like from the same make in heaven, because I love analogies. I always think of it like a kite and a string. Like the kite couldn't fly without the string, but the string couldn't have any fun without the kite. And so like if he's like the string that keeps me grounded, and I'm like the kite that's like up flying in the air, but without the string, I would just be in a tree stuck going crazy, right? He keeps me grounded. But without the kite, the string would literally just lay on the floor and do nothing.
Yeah, there are many times where he's told me, he's like, if I didn't have you, he's like, not to say that he wouldn't like go out and do things, but I feel like he wouldn't push himself to do that. I feel like sometimes he would be more like, oh, I'll just, you know, be home and it's fine, which works in some cases in the sense that I can't always go out because of, you know, my health. But at the same time, it's like, but I want to do this stuff. So it's interesting to see like different ways that I want to say I've changed him, because that like never is like my goal to like change him. But mm-hmm. like he eats a lot more vegetables now, and I feel like he puts himself out there a little bit more than he used to. So
yeah, we just compliment each other.
Yes, exactly.
Or drive each other absolutely insane. But that's just marriage. It's the best.
That too.
In the best ways.
Yes. Most of the time, anyway. And is there anything else that either we haven't touched on that you feel kind of goes along with what we've been talking about, or anything that you want to add in relation to what we have shared before we wrap this up?
Not really relating. I just want to thank you for doing what you're doing, because I think it's really important. And you're really inspiring, because, you know, we talk a lot in our Marco Polo group, and you often, you know, are struggling with your health and stuff. And I just think you are teaching me how to, even though I don't have an illness, you know, mental illness is kind of like, you know, something that doesn't go away. And you are always talking about like, well, before I go to this party, I'm going to take, you know, this day off because I need to prepare. Like, you're just really good at loving and caring for yourself. So, and then you're putting out this beautiful podcast. I don't know. I just wanted to compliment you, because I think you're amazing and you're doing a great job.
I really appreciate that, because it is a big struggle for me to take care of myself sometimes. And so that it's apparent that I do my best to try and do that, especially more recently, I really appreciate that. That means a lot.
Yeah, because you think like, you know, in order for me to go to Thanksgiving with my family, I need to do this and this and this beforehand. And you try really hard to be healthy for those things. And I'm like, man, I need to eat breakfast in the morning. So, because if I don't eat, then it's hard. My mental health isn't as good. So I've been learning from you to do the little things you have to do to prepare for when you're not feeling well.
That's really awesome. I love that. I'm glad that what I have been working on and learning has been able to help somebody else do the same thing.
Of course. Okay, I'm really done now. We could literally talk for hours.
Yes, we could. So with my normal last two questions of the episode, where can people find you? And obviously with your podcast, where can people find your podcast?
So my podcast is pretty much on any streaming, like app, iTunes or Spotify or Google Podcasts or whatever. You can find me there at Beyond the Picket Fence. And then you can find me on Instagram at Beyond with Chelsea, or Facebook at Chelsea B, B-E-A. I'm not active on social media right now because for my mental health, I took a break. And my podcast is moving very slowly right now. But the stuff I have out is worth a listen. I got some really incredible stories. And if you want to be friends or need a safe space, I am on Marco Polo. And that is probably my most, if you want me to get back to you ASAP, Marco Polo me, because that's my home. That's my home. That's the only social media app I have on my phone.
I love that. I'll have to put your Marco Polo. Well, actually, I think you'd have to send it to me.
I know. So I'm like, is there a Marco Polo handle? I don't even know.
So they would have to either be connected with you, or they would have to have your direct link. Okay. So if you don't know how to find your direct link, I can show you after. And then I'll put it in the show notes.
Perfect.
Yeah. With the podcast, though, didn't you have an issue with the RSS feed? So there's two different ones, or did you get that fixed? So there's only one.
So that's another big reason why my podcast isn't active right now, isn't actively producing right now, is because I changed RSS feeds, and then with Descript updated, I don't really know how to use it anymore. So I don't really know how to edit my podcast anymore. So, and I just haven't taken the time to relearn. So let me search my podcast really quick and see what it's actually called. It is the one that says, how do I get to like the main part? Okay. Legendary Dog Walker. About more like this. I don't know. Can you edit all this part out?
I might be able to, but if I can't, then that's okay.
There's two. There's one that says Beyond the Picket Fence with Chelsea Hansen. I think that's it. It says Chelsea Hansen under it.
That's the correct one?
Yes.
Okay. I couldn't remember which one was the correct one, so I wanted to make sure that they knew.
There's only two episodes on the other one that haven't hit yet. But yeah, I got to figure that out pretty pronto, because it's going to be, if I want this to be, you know, available for people, like, they got to know how to find me.
Exactly. I can try. And I think I have followed the correct one. So I can also link, because I plan to next Saturday have your podcast be my podcast shout out Saturday on my Aww. Instagram in the stories. And so I'll make sure I link the correct one. So anyone That's listening, awesome.
I think Apple podcast, there's just one. I think it worked well with Apple, but I think Spotify Perfect. Is where it has two different ones. Cause I had like a ton of reviews and now I only have two. So it's all, Ooh. It's all, you know, a hot mess. Cause I am the Hot Mess Express and I'm happy with it right now.
Yeah. So for those that are listening, the Beyond the Picket Fence, the podcast shout out Saturday highlight. I normally link the Spotify one anyway when I link people's podcasts. So you can just go there if you listen to this at any point. And if it's within the first 24 hours of this podcast being out, it will just be in my normal stories. But if it's after the 24 hours, then it will be in the, I think it's just PSS. Highlight and you can find it there. And with the podcast being called Beautiful Legacy, I ask all of my special guests, what kind of legacy do you want to leave and why?
I love that. I totally forgot about that question. I'm excited because on my podcast, I always ask, what do you wish people saw beyond your picket fence? And it kind of means the same thing, right? It's a little different, but my legacy, cheesy, I guess, but I want to leave a legacy of just kindness and genuine human connection and caring. Like when people think of Chelsea, I want them to think like, man, she really cared genuinely about me and made me feel important. There's a song called A Window to His Love, and it's about being a window to Jesus Christ's love. And that's really where I draw my love for others and my empathy from others, is because I 1000% believe in Jesus Christ and he loves people and wants them to know that they're like one soul is worth all the rubies to him, you know? And so I want people to feel that from when they've had a interaction with me, I want them to leave feeling like they were really an important person.
Well, I would say that you are doing a great job at that. But how, besides your podcast, which I know is not very active at the moment, but how are you making that happen?
I'm just genuine in all of my interactions. So, like,
duh.
I don't know. That's a hard question, Abigail.
Well, I'm sorry.
I just feel like, anywhere I go, I do. I just keep that on the forefront of my mind. Like, this person in front of me is a child of God. And whether they believe that or not, it doesn't matter to me. I just focus on that. And I try to be patient and loving and kind. And my friend just told me, my friend's mom told me that, you know, maybe this is why God has you working with special needs. And maybe this is why you've done all of your different jobs, is because God's prepared me to be a flight attendant where I can go out and meet people from all around the world and, you know, share the light of Christ, even though they might not know that's what it is. That is what keeps me going and inspires me. And that's the legacy I want to leave.
I absolutely love that. Also, I don't know why, but with that last part about, you know, obviously, it made me think of Lindsay's little bubbles in the Marco Polo thing. And that's all I was picturing during that part of the conversation. Oh, my gosh. Anyways.
I love Lindsay. I want to have, actually, that's been one of my ideas, is to have all of you guys on and do just like an episode about how people can be from all different places and have all different beliefs, but like genuinely love and support each other. So that's in the works, in the mind works, if I can learn how to edit again.
I love that. And for whatever reason you can't, we could always, you know, do it over here too. But I absolutely love that. I think that would be so fun. And for those listening, you're not going to have any idea what we're talking about, but you know, us podcast girls, you know, the rest of you will probably get a kick out of that. But anyways, I really appreciate you giving me some of your time today. I enjoyed chatting, and I know that we could talk for hours and hours, but we will not do that for the sake of the listeners and all of that. But thank you again. And to the listeners, as always, you are loved, you are worth it, you are priceless, and I will talk to you all later.
Bye.